Hello, everyone. It's Tuesday again, 3 o'clock, with New Consciousness, New World. This is your host, Esperanza Ray. And again, I want to welcome you back. We're going to be continuing from where we left off last Tuesday. We're basically finishing up the changes on the planet and the changes in humanity. And we're going to be moving into the future. So we hope that this will work, be of interest to you, because this is really the main goal, the main purpose of the book, really. And not only are we going to be talking about what the future holds for us after we transcend this duality that we're currently in, also we will be talking about methodologies, techniques, how we can apply some of these to help us maintain balance. Not only that, but one of the wonderful techniques that I would like to share with you is connecting with your divine essence so that you can basically get guidance for yourself as opposed to having other people guide you and telling you what needs to be done with spirit. You are God's temple. You are a divine human being. You have great connection. As a person who's been created in the image of God, you are divine, and therefore you have the gifts and abilities that all beings of light and of God have. We all have these abilities. It's just that some people have learned to develop them, because they've spent more time and effort on them, and other people are learning to awaken those. Even if you're not aware that you are developing your gifts, a lot of people are doing this subconsciously, and especially during the sleep. I know I undergo a lot of training in my sleep as well as in my awake time. However, I know that there are some people who, because of whatever reason, they are undergoing those changes through their sleep. Let me give you some contact information in case you want to call into the station. The main number is 888-627-6008. That's valid for U.S. and Canada, 888-627-6008. You can call if you're calling within the United States, or locally you can call 530-327-7602. All right, so we look forward to hearing from you if you'd like to share any comments. You're also welcome to go on there. My email and contact information is on there, so you're welcome to contact us if you have any questions that you would prefer to do via mail. And one other thing I would like to share with you, we've talked on two previous shows about the work we're going to be doing in a special pilgrimage to Chichen Itza, Mexico, in the Yucatan region. And we wanted to encourage you, if your time would allow, to join us at that event. We will be departing on the 19th of July and coming back on the 27th of July. It's not a lot of time, but there is still a little bit of space available, not a lot, but some space available. So if you're interested, go to researchcia.com, and in the main welcome page, you will see a link towards the pilgrimage. It's an incredible opportunity to learn techniques for transforming and connecting and healing the ley lines in our planet, just like we have energy centers so that the planet. On top of that, aside from the ley lines, it's an incredible alignment of humanity because of the fact that we are transcending, and there's an alignment of stars and planets that only occurs every 26,000 years or so. So this is an incredible change because we are going through a quantum leap in consciousness. And I think this quantum leap in consciousness occurs, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard every 26 and every 56,000. So just to give you some information on that, and again, the page for the pilgrimage is researchcia.com. You're welcome to go on there, and you can contact us if you're interested. We have phone numbers and emails you can use for this purpose. All right, so let us now focus on our show, which will continue along with the book that I've wrote, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. We are currently finishing up the second section of the book, because the book is written in reverse chronological order. So basically we're going now backwards through the book. We've finished section three of the book. We're finishing section two, and then we'll be starting with section one, which is the future in the Crystal City, and a lot of wonderful, incredible information that we hope can be of value and of use to everyone. And we'd like to share that message and information with you. This is the key aspect of our ascension. So in section one, we would be discussing the Crystal Cities, New Terra, which is basically the new continents and the people that live in this time frame, the fifth dimension and the quantum consciousness, what that entails and how that impacts us all. So this is something to look forward in the next session. I will be gone from the 17th till the 27th. So I will leave recorded radio shows so that you can still continue to listen to us every week, and we hope that you will enjoy it. We will, next week, of course, we will continue with, obviously, the Ascension and the Crystal City, so we will definitely be in the future by then. Then the following program, I'm going to have a guest, and we're going to talk about visualization, because it's related to the Ascension, the first section of the book, because it was through a visualization, through a mental projection, that all these images were given to me for this book. So specifically for the first section of the book. So I'm looking forward to sharing all of that with you. And without further delay, basically last week we had finished off by saying you will never be. We talked about the visions that I've had when I traveled to Fort Worth, Texas. And for those of you who did not have a chance to join us last week and would like to listen to the previous shows, please go to BBS Archives. You can go to New Consciousness, New Radio, New Consciousness, New World, excuse me, and listen to the archives for the show. So you're welcome to do that as well. There is a charge, a monthly charge for this capability. However, it is a way for us as spiritual beings and supporters of spirituality to support BBS radio station so that we can continue. People like me and like some of you can share their information, their knowledge, and their guidance with others this way. So I encourage you that if you have the opportunity and have not done so, to do that. All right. So we were discussing about Fort Worth, Texas, and we were talking about the tidal waves and all the changes that were going to happen there, and how I would not be returning and have not returned to the state again, even though previously a lot of my travel entailed going to that area. Also another location when I was traveling a lot to was Colorado. And let's briefly touch on the last part of this chapter. In the last few years, I have noticed through my travel for work, when I talk to people and interact with them, I was noticing that people were encouraged either through work or through family circumstances because they were, of course, the economy in some ways has provided an opportunity for families to come back together and support each other. So from that perspective, it's been a positive thing. However, there's other things that have impacted us in a little more negative circumstances, creating a bit of turmoil and chaos in our lives, affecting us all. So I've noticed in my travels when I talk to different people that I encounter at work or whether it be, just interacting with people as a whole, that they would be moving for those reasons. Either they had to go back to help a family member, or they had to go back and live with family members because they could no longer afford to live on their own. They had lost their job, either in some cases one of the spouses or both of the spouses or one of the family members. They sometimes had children and they needed help with children, so sometimes the parents the in-laws would come into that the picture to do that. So there's a variety of reasons why people would relocate. And what I've noticed, for example, when I first started traveling to Colorado Springs, which was, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, my first time, I noticed that when I was coming out of the airport, Denver Airport specifically, well, I'm sorry, yes, it is the Denver, Colorado Airport, heading on my way to Colorado Springs, there weren't a lot of communities. There was a lot of open space and open land and very few homes around. So you felt like you were in somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. Since then, that has increased in size. I mean, there are towns, homes, building developments, and communities rising up all over the place. And I've noticed that the population has increased immensely in these areas. And I'm just wondering, in some cases, if it's because some of these locations are havens for other people, and for whatever reason, spirit is calling people to these areas for whatever purpose they're in, their goal is in life. We're going to now be discussing a little bit more about the global disasters. This, like I said, is the final chapter addressing this issue. So basically, we're going to finish this, and then we can start with the future. And the Crystal City especially is one of my favorite parts. So the mentality, how people live, how people interact, how is it different from us now, and what can we expect in this magnificent era of light, where illusion is no longer part of the picture, and we have transcended space-time. So I look forward to sharing that with you. Basically, we're in Chapter 10 right now, which is the global disasters. And Metatron basically talks about the tragic part of this war is not in it's how it reaches into almost every corner of the planet and leaves no stone, nothing unturned, no thing unturned. Of course, we already know the issue about the economy and hope for improvement of the economy at this point is minimal. There is an overwhelming dominance of greedy corporations, and as a matter of fact, in that time frame, in the approximately maybe next 4 to 7 years, we will not have the traditional government that we are accustomed to, but we will probably have some kind of corporate system that will be in charge, because the powers that be basically will have a different purpose for what we consider now to be the elect government. And basically the money comes from the corporations, and they will not see any purpose in maintaining an elective system, but more whoever it has the strongest power, the strongest, the greatest bag of coins will be the corporation in charge. So that is also very interesting, that the type of government and political system we're used to may not be in place at this point in time. All of this, along with a diminishing sense of morals and values, is intimidating for most. Selfish economic interests replace concern for the greater good. This leads the world into a void of hopelessness for a period of time. Again, this is not permanent. I would like you to remember that and keep that in mind. The economy continues on a downward spiral with no end in sight. And, you know, we all know that sometimes we have to hit bottom before we can really recuperate and recover and transform. And this, like I said, is nothing new. It's a transition that is a part of our universe, part of our galaxy, and a part of our planet. We are not the first to go through this. We will not be the last to go through this. What we also need to understand is that we are not alone, and we do have others helping us from other planets, from other star systems, from other universes, helping us in this process because they have been through it, and because we're all interconnected, as we all come from the same divine source of creation. We're all interconnected, and we're all one. And not only that, But we all impact each other, and it's important to understand how that is. Okay, so this leads the world into a void of hopelessness. The economy continues on a downward spiral with no end in sight. This chaotic force leads spiritual people from believing in their personal power. Once the middle and lower classes are unable to support the lower the deficit, the upper classes turn on themselves. The different governments start to crumble. Martial law is the only means of maintaining some level of stability and control. This will not last, however. The middle and lower classes will turn against the tyranny of the upper classes. The government, trying to keep order, infringes on the rights and freedoms of people. And we kind of can notice that a little bit today because of September 11th, you notice that, for example, security measures in classified areas are much more strict. We no longer, as a public, have access to places like maybe the White House, maybe our access to the Capitol is much more limited. Also, the access to the Pentagon, which you would be able to get temporary passes to go and check it out, they're no longer available. So there's a lot of measures in place. On top of that, there's also a more serious restriction on traveling between countries. And not only that, but security at the airports is a lot more extreme than a few years ago. So things are getting a little tight. We're not quite to the level that I'm describing this. So keep that in mind as well. Tired of abuse and, most importantly, the death of loved ones in the war, the majority of the population is in turmoil. The government, unable to resolve the situation, becomes fragmented and localized. There is no longer a centralized structure. With no support from the government, weighed down by the natural catastrophes, the middle and lower classes have no choice but to rebel against the continued oppression. There is an overwhelming attempt to convince people to conform to the old conquest system and old status quo. Now, I'd like to share this quote with you, which I've incorporated into the book. It's a quote from Abraham Lincoln, which I think is very relevant to what I'm discussing right now. Any people, anywhere, being inclined and having the power, have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better. This a most valuable, a most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. So here, this is the insight that Abraham Lincoln had, because in a way he was going through similar circumstances at the time. He was also in at war, and there was a major war involving all the United States at that time. So he had the foresight to see that if the government does not support the people, if the government is not for the people, then we have the right, our constitutional right, which was what, you know, the motivation behind the Constitution was to create independence from England. And at this point, if they were to happen or need to happen, it would have to be independence from the existing government because it was oppressing the people, too. Chaos will bring in will have a very short reign, though at times it may not seem this way. Nothing can stop the birth of new beliefs, evolution, and most important, a new age of enlightenment. The devastation follows a similar course throughout the world. Thousands wander the streets, homeless or in search of place of law and order. Moving from town to town, they look for a place to call home. They are shocked by the demolished homes and buildings along the way. Some group together and try to share resources in order to survive. Their numbers are kept small to prevent drawing attention of ruthless gangs and terrorists. Others gang up to oppress the weak and bully their way into some form of power and control. The population is turning into tribal systems left to fend for itself. These groups manage to make their way out of the now crumbling cities or centers of government, which to great extent are localized and corrupt or overwhelmed with the the circumstances. The luckier people, find their way to the survival groups. These groups are always on the lookout for wandering souls that need help. Again, the reason for this is because it is important to bring in as many groups, as many survivors to these locations as possible so that humanity can continue after this is done with. So, again, even though we are going through some serious trials at this time and point, there are groups that are still interested in helping others because they understand the importance. Not only that, but because there is a process, a methodology that we need to learn and understand that will help us with this transition, this ascension process. These people that are brought into the survival groups are integrated into the group and taught their ways of survival. In these communities, life is simple. They are built to be self-sufficient and independent. Survival groups have two focuses. One is to determine their time is spent in the production of their food. Most of them have small interior and exterior forming groups. Second is becoming aware through a variety of mental disciplines and meditations. The purpose is becoming aware. Some of the communities are in contact and communication with other groups of like mind, while others are self-contained. In their seclusion, much like a monastery, they try to keep up to date on events taking place in the rest of the world. It is to their advantage to understand what is happening. When possible, they will reach out to help those wandering in despair. However, they are limited in their resources as well. Their time is almost also spent in martial arts training for protection as a means of physical and mental training discipline. In some cases, these groups work in support of the local governments that are not oppressive. Other groups are more remote and are limited to providing help to those searching for a place of safety. With their techniques of mind development, these groups are aiding the process of rebirth and easing the suffering that devastates the planet. These places of refuge are usually located in mountainous areas. Many are away from the coastlines and located in the interior at high altitudes, but not all of them are at high altitudes. Most of them maybe, but not all of them. Metatron says, as the world spirals into a serious depression, unemployment climbs exponentially. Two main classes emerge, the privileged and the unprivileged. The first group is made up of people who perform a function or labor for the existing organized government, people who hold jobs. The second group, the unemployed, is made up of people who do not perform a function or labor for the existing controlling government. They are the unemployed. From both groups, a third group will rise to save and restore humanity to its rightful place in the cosmos. Now, if you think about our current employment situation, you already see that some of this is happening. Well, in this case, it's going to be much more extreme. And even though it would be ideal for everyone to have a job, because of the cutbacks, because of the abuse of resources, because of certain people trying to control these resources, which we're starting to see more and more of, you know, obviously there is a greater unemployment, a greater lack of self-sustenance and self-support. So people are finding themselves out on the streets and homeless. But this is the interesting thing, that even though these two groups seem almost opposed, they are not. And as a result of the ascension process of our desire to awaken, and not only that, because of our humanity, our love, because we still have that even under these circumstances, we will still work together and we will find a way to create a new social class, a group that will save humanity as a whole. This will be the people who will work for a common goal to awaken humanity and raise its potential. From this group, survival communities will emerge in different parts of the world. They will teach and work together. Some of this work has already started and will continue to do so. These special communities are where hope reigns. To those escaping persecution or looking for a place to survive, hearing of these locations and tired of the government weakened by terrorism, many will seek these places of refuge. They will be guided and directed to where they need to go. After a few years of war and terrorism, natural disasters, and much greed, the first two groups are annihilated, and the third group, and the two-thirds of the population perish. The remain, well, and this is in the Bible, it's not something I'm making up. The remaining third make the transition to the fifth dimension. While this is unfortunate, let me remind you that your choice is key in determining which group you fall into. Again, not a punishment from a tyrannical God, but a process. And also, you know, we need to keep in mind that the fact that people pass away is not the end of the person. There is a life after, and we will not be separated at this point when we ascend from those people. So if loved ones have passed away, you will still have be able to interact with them, and obviously not as if they were living with you, but you will be able to interact and communicate with them, just as you will be able to do so with the spirit. Okay, again, this is not a punishment, but it's a mere natural process of evolution. And if you believe in evolution, then you know this is true. And we have seen it throughout history. We know that it's a fact that we do evolve and adapt to our environment. Obviously, through this changing process, we already discussed more details about this, but the sinking of old continents, the rising of new ones, claim many lives in the process, so this adds to the death toll. In addition, with the continuation of wars and terrorism, the devastation is complete. As the dust and water settle, however, the groups in isolation find it is time to regroup. The last of the survivors are taken in and given refuge. While in isolation, these groups have formed their own government that works for the people. The task is arduous. These new people have a tool more powerful than all of the technology developed over the centuries. This powerful tool is the human mind, the power of the human mind. All right, let's look a little bit again at the global perspective. The Andes, as mentioned earlier, is not the only place where some ancient caves have been prepared. Tibet is one of the several locations prepared by the Elder Brothers. And we discussed that in a previous show, that the Elder Brothers are extraterrestrials that are beings of light and that are here intended to help us. And there is a group of lower brothers, as I've named them to distinguish them, because there are also extraterrestrials that are trying to prevent our ascension because they want to keep us in the same dual vibration that we are currently in. And that would be to their advantage and also to maintain the people, to some extent, enslaved and working for them. So each continent holds ancient structures which advanced technology with it. Really advanced technology. I mean, some of it is maybe beyond what we could possibly understand, such as, crystals that hold memory as opposed, data or can contain databases and as opposed to what we currently use. The Rocky Mountains and Appalachians are a couple of ranges that contain several similar caves. Other locations can also be found in Australia, Asia, Africa, and Europe, and, of course, in South America. This progression you are experiencing is not exclusive to Terra. It is a process that all planets in all galaxies and universes have experienced. It is a natural process of evolution or progression. Terra is not the only planet to go through this process, nor will it be the last. The Elder Brothers have experienced transformations on different occasions. They were assisted by races more knowledgeable than their own. Now they're helping Terra. These will be difficult and trying moments for all humanity. With your eyes fixed on the source, survival will be provided for all who seek God. Only those focused will be able to see the way out. Here again, your choices come into play. Nothing is forced upon you, but your decision, your choices, help you to vibrate at a certain level and therefore progress into the ascension process. And meditation is extremely key for this. Okay, now what you must realize, and this is very important, and most of you already know, is that death is not the end to be feared. It is only the way back to the Creator, a passage or transformation. This is a journey traveled by all, no exception. Those who pass over and those who stay are not separate. They just have a different awareness. Once you pass, you become multidimensional and can be in many places at once. Fear not. The angels, beings of light, and even your deceased family members are with you always, at your side, caring for you, helping you to find your way home. There are numerous people on Terra that can see the other side, and numerous people that perform acts that are today considered miracles. So again, we're talking about the age of miracles, which will come to be. The new dimension will be an age of miracles, and heaven and earth will reign as it was intended from the birth of time for everyone. Miracles are the new way of life. The fifth dimension does not mark the end of humanity's evolution. There are other dimensions that exist and are intended to progress through. Each dimension is just a step closer to home. However, the fifth dimension marks the era of unity. It is oneness with God and through God with all things. From this point on, there is no separation from the source. This will make your existence much more fulfilling and less cumbersome. The age of illusion is death. So that's basically it at this point. And with that being said, we basically finish the time of horrifying changes and transitions and drama in our time. And we move on now to the first section of the book, where we will be talking about the enlightenment and what awaits us as beings of light, okay? And that's the most important part of the book. And that's why at the end of the book, I strongly recommend that you return to the beginning and read the first section again, because it basically brings you around in full circle. So let us go back and look at section one and find how these changes, these I feel like my mouth is not working today very well. These wonderful, extraordinary changes are going to impact us for the good. Let us focus on seeing how we can better understand the wonderful world that is awaiting for us, okay? So we're going to be moving again to section one, which is basically in chapter one of the book. And section one is titled The Ascension. So we're going to talk about different aspects of this ascension. And the first part of it is the crystal cities. This is the part of the vision where I was taken in to see the vision. Now I'm going to describe exactly what happened. So basically, I was in my regular location. We had a support group for meditation and spirituality, which met on a regular basis once a week, usually on Fridays. And we met at a local church, and this was a group, and it was non-denominational. And one of those days, guess what happened? Even though the chairs were set up in a circle ready for everyone to gather, my meditation group did not show up this Friday. Days like this are always a great opportunity for me to have a unique moment to myself. I received some of my deepest and best insights this way. Sitting in a half lotus position, I begin my breathing exercise for relaxation and go into a meditative state. Again, meditation is the key, so it's important to meditate. I proceed with the energy clearing, balancing, and regeneration. Next is the energy circle. This is the best part of the meditation because you get a wonderful feeling of total balance between body and mind. You're releasing judgments, resentments, anger, and much more. Meditation helps me to reach a state of mental and physical wellness and develop your spirituality and intuition. Also, at this state, which is specifically the meditation I use, is guided meditation. There are a variety of types. But guided meditation is the technique that I use the most because it is, it's in a way, it's meditation directed for a purpose. And you go to into a state that's called alpha. At the alpha state, you tune in your body, mind, and soul into the vibration of the universe that is total perfection. And that is why people who meditate oftentimes find themselves aging less and can look anywhere from 5, 10, 15, even 20 years in some cases younger. And believe it or not, I have seen this for myself, and I have been a consequence of this effect. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience because we were never really intended to age. So we release all the negativity, and our body tunes in to the vibration of perfection, the frequency, the vibration, and the health benefits of being at this state. Meditation helps you to reach states of mental and physical wellness and develops your spiritual intuition, which is very important for guidance and direction. Magical things happen at the spiritual level. So halfway through this process, three light, translucent figures appear sitting directly across from me, two angels and an ascended master, which I also refer to as beings of light. How did I know this? I just did. It was an automatic understanding known as absolute knowledge. I will explain more about that later. In this book, I refer to angels with gender. I see them this way because it is more acceptable to me. Due to my own gender, male energy resonates with me and balances my female energy. Angels have no gender in reality. Angels are being created by the Source to serve as a reflection of divine will. They have free will, which is in alignment and in union with God. That's why some people have the misconception that angels and beings of light do not have free will. In reality, they do. It's just that they are so perfectly aligned with God's will that it doesn't seem to be separate or different. We, in our duality, are the ones that appear to be separate or different because we are unaware, we are disconnected from that source, or we don't have the ability to understand that we are connected. Once we make that connection, once we are aware of this fact, then everything in within starts to change. Now, masters were once embodied and have since ascended. They at one time believed that they were separate from God. Through conscious awareness, they have reunited with the universal source by bringing their energy vibration into balance and harmony with the divine. So again, there's two separate factors in here. We have angels and we have beings of light, and each in a way represent a different aspect. Source is the inherent consciousness of what is, was, and whatever can be. It is the I Am presence, the creator, not to be confused, and this is very important, with the creation. We are made in the image of God. We are divine. We have the ability to create. That does not mean that we are the creator. Okay, there is to some degree a level of distinction in that, and I want that to be clear. These three beings sat in front of me with a smile and a tender, compassionate look. There was almost a slight twinkle in their eyes as if something funny and mysterious was going to take place. My curiosity was piqued at this point. They remained quiet, waiting patiently, teasing me with their eyes. Unable to contain my curiosity and excitement, I asked, "Who are you and what do you want?" No reply. They just continued to smile. Okay, I thought. Patience is a virtue, they say, and I am a little weak on that one. Finally, the angel on my left broke the silence. My name is Andrew, and I am from the angelic realm, he responded. And the other one said, I am Tobias. And the ascended being clarified. Let me repeat that because it didn't come across making too much sense. My name is Andrew, and I'm from the angelic realm, he responded. I am Tobias, the middle one said. An ascended being, he clarified. And the third is basically my guardian angel, whose name is only known to me. I knew the angels had different vibrations of energy than ascended masters, yet both worked to help the planet and humanity. A simple way to understand energy vibration is wavelength colors. Red is different from blue, and so is the energy and vibration, and the frequency as well. Red vibrates at a higher and faster level, so the human eye registers as red. Blue has a slower energy vibration, so we perceive it as blue, and this is true for every color of the rainbow. We are attracted to a color because that specific energy vibration is more in resonance with our own, and that's why we feel drawn to it. Now, when we think about vibration or energy, we have to take into account the frequency. Basically, the frequency makes up the wave, and the wave makes up the energy, so it's all interconnected and all integrated. Now, certain vibrations make us feel more balanced, happier, and peaceful. In the same manner, we are attracted to other people. A person's energy can make us comfortable, happy, calm, or all of the above. How we react to another person's energy signature allows us to like or dislike that person. Some people you click with, others you don't. This principle applies to almost everything in our lives. What we attract or not is based on our energy signature and how we think about ourselves and others. This is a simplistic version of this principle. For our purposes here, this is all we need to discuss. In reality, it is much more complex and more involved. And in the books that are to follow, because like I said, Whole Brains Beyond 2012 is a summary of four more books to come. So this is the first book of five, and four more books are to follow, which will provide more detail based on each of the sections. And with each, even though we have sections two and three that are a little more dramatic, we will also be providing in the books that address that era, we will be providing positive information as well. It won't be detailed exclusively about the changes, but it will also involve things that we can do during those periods and those times to transform and bring balance into our lives and into our existence and in the world around us as well. I knew the other angel to my right. We met some time ago. He is my guardian angel. His name is known only to me, but I will refer to him as V, like in Victor. So we smiled and nodded at each other. When I am in the presence of these beings, my writing flows and I am completely focused. I can listen to someone talking to me, remain calm and focused, and still write this book, which I did. I feel like I can do multiple things at once. When I'm not in a state of meditation, I can be focused on some things at the same time, but I can also be a bit of an ungrounded scatterbrain. And maybe some of you can identify with that. So this experience is incredible, very balancing, peaceful, and healing. Andrew raised his hand and began to draw circles in the air in front of us. As he did so, a circular cloud began to form. It grew larger as he continued to move his fingers around and around. After a minute or so, he put his hand down. The three of them stood up and signaled me to enter with them into the tunnel. We stepped through the opening, and the clouds swirled around us like a spiral. We floated deeper and faster into the tunnel. My thoughts were, where are we going? We are traveling through time, Andrew answered. And now I have to remind you, we're using absolute communication, which is nonverbal. It's actually much more complete and comprehensive, and I believe I will touch on that a little bit further along. But just to give you an understanding, it is complex because it involves images, it involves sound, it involves smells, tastes, and it goes beyond that to there's a sense of connectedness with everything around you, and there is a sense of well-being, and there is a telepathy, and even more, there is a connection with the person you are connecting with. In other words, if you're reading someone else's mind, you actually are able to see from their perspective what they're feeling. So there's no misconception with this type of communication, and I'll touch on that later on as well. Ah, that got me more excited. So Andrew basically answers, we are traveling through time, and that got me more and more excited. It was, if that was possible, because I was already on edge, and I asked, are we going into the past or the future? You know the answer to that, he responded. He was right. We were connected at the mind level. This is how absolute knowledge or absolute communication works. I asked a question, and immediately the answer comes to mind. Their thoughts were my thoughts and mine theirs. No words needed to be spoken. No words needed to be communicated. This form of communication is much more than mental words. You experience the thoughts, emotions, images, and mental process that the other person experiences. A great example of this form of communication is the expression, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. That is exactly what you do when conversing with beings of light, and it is much more complete and precise. There is a sense of oneness with this process, a deeper connection and understanding. With this communication, differences, disagreements, frustration, anger, especially miscommunications, do not exist. It would be impossible because you relate to each other at a different level. You understand the intent, thought, and meaning behind the message as if it were one single moment in action. There is no judgment, condition, or duality at this level of open mind. After all, what can you hide when your mind and thoughts are shared? Really, not much. Even though this may sound contradictory, it is not. Sharing your thoughts gives greater freedom. And this quote is taken from the Bible. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's exactly what this type of communication really does. We are used to communicating individually with our mouth, tone of voice, body, and gestures. Each time, it's a separate entity. Each mind is a separate entity. Our thoughts are separate from one another. We can read intent by the tone of voice and oftentimes by the language if we're in the presence of a person and even by the gestures of the face and all of that. All of these physical communications can be misinterpreted, and thus our differences, disagreements, frustrations, and anger lead us to misunderstanding. As silly as it may sound, it has never been more true that most wars are fought because of miscommunication, and we know that for a fact. Misinformation and differences that lead to serious disagreements and even killing people and murdering people and hurting people. I knew that we were traveling into the future. My anticipation continued to grow. We were traveling as fast and very fast and in several minutes past how far we were going. What could the people look like? These were questions that were going through my mind. How far are we going? What would the people look like? Would cars fly? Would the resources be depleted? And what about wildlife? Which species would exist, or which ones would be extinct? Or would we have established a balance? Would there be ETs, and would they be friendly? All of these questions went through my mind. How far have robots come, or technology? Was this future real, or was humankind wiped off the face of the earth? I wondered. My thoughts were racing as I painted a picture for myself based on some of my favorite science fiction movies. Andrew was aware of my concerns. He clarified a few things. We are moving as 1,400 years into the future. But currently, time is accelerating exponentially. So this will happen in your lifetime. This is what you understand as a quantum leap in humanity's evolution. Nothing will happen before the source chooses. Some are trying to accomplish just the opposite through fear and chaos. That will be shortly lived. Okay. This totally blew my mind, of course. What do you mean? I asked. He responded, we will address this later. We continued to move as the clouds rotated faster around us. The tunnel transcends space-time and thus can access any space or point in it. We started to slow down, and Andrew raised his left arm and extended it through the cloud at a spatial moment in time. The clouds stopped spinning and parted, creating an opening. I followed Tobias and V through the opening with Andrew at our heels as the clouds closed behind us. On the other side, all I could see was brightness. Different sounds filled the air. I could hear birds chirping and dogs barking. The wind was blowing through the trees, and I heard water running nearby. And there were other sounds I could not identify. They had a calming effect. As the breeze touched my face, I smelled the sweetness of the flowers. Gradually, my surroundings came into focus as my eyes adjusted to the light. My breath was taken away by the absolute beauty lying before me. I realized we were floating in midair. Gigantic crystals reached to the sky in majestic clusters below us. They were like frosted glass, translucent yet smooth from top to bottom. They reminded me of a giant rectangular skyscrapers with the tops slanted at an angle. The crystals were not all the same height, but varied much like they do in nature. With a closer look, I realized they were buildings. They extended as far as the eye could see. Yet, they did not crowd each other. Lusher, colorful gardens flowed between the clusters with every type of flower, plant, tree, and animal you could imagine. White paths served as guidelines from cluster to cluster. There were people walking in the garden. Everything seemed to be in perfect balance and harmony. What I did not see were roads or highways or cars or any sign of our modern technology, like airplanes. A strip of turquoise blue water glistened in the horizon. The air was so pure and clean I could see for miles. It was almost surreal. Such peace. I felt light and fresh. This was a magical place. Upon entering, all your troubles dissipate, and I was filled with a feeling of perfect well-being. There was so much to take in, so many questions. I was looking down on the city. We were not alone. Other people were floating past us. They looked at us, smiled, and said hello or welcome. Others sent blessings. As they spoke to us, their lips did not move or utter a word. They were using absolute knowledge. Communication. I could actually feel within me their sense of joy. A group passed us. As they greeted us, I sensed all of them as one thought. I began to feel the presence of many minds acting as one, or was it the other way around? Maybe it is the same thing, really. I was actually in contact with everyone on the planet. This was one city, but I could feel the presence of millions. As I focused on a given thought, I could connect with a group specifically, or a single individual, basically. They were connecting as one mind. At the same time, they were a variety of personalities. It was a great sense of unity being connected. No loneliness exists here. There was a serenity about them, a sense of fulfillment, in a harmony. If I had to describe heaven, this is what it would be, basically. We continued to observe. They seemed regal. Their clothes were luminous and flowing like silk. Actually, their bodies and clothes glowed. And let me interject here a quote from Mark 9:2-3. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And they had bleach in those days, wow. I directed my thoughts to Andra. This is Earth in 1,400 years, I asked. Yes, he replied. This is so extraordinary, and yet you say it's supposed to happen in our lifetime, I thought. That's correct. Wait, for there is much more to see and understand here, he answered. As we stood there, some of these people disappeared into the crystal structures, while others came out. There were no visible doors. They just passed through into the crystal. It was almost hypnotizing to watch them move about and what seemed to be their daily routine. One of those beings was moving towards us. As he approached, he greeted us telepathically. I could sense, feel, and hear his thoughts. We were in communion. He introduced himself as Adrian. I know what you're thinking. All these people have names that begin with A, except for my guardian angel, and that's very interesting. But later on, you've already, heard from Metatron, and he's the one who doesn't have the A letter. So that's very interesting, too, because the A reminds me Alpha, and then you have the Omega. So he was one of the guardians of the Crystal City and was here to welcome us and act as our guide. He told us as much as possible about life here. He also shared how it was possible for this feeling of peace, calm, and balance to permeate the earth. It was very freeing, and everything around us was in pristine condition. At this point, he beckoned us to follow him, and he slowly floated over the Crystal City. All right, so let's see what happens now here in this new Terra. Adrian explained to us, here humanity has reached a new level of evolution. Earth has ascended into a new state of vibration known as fifth dimension. There is no longer any need for machines, medications, or anything of physical design. Nothing is man-made through tools or inventions. Although things are produced, it is done with the power of the mind and is done instantly. So for next week, we will continue with this, and I'd like to welcome you back again next Tuesday, where we will continue with the Crystal Cities, the people who live in them, and God bless you all, and goodbye from Esperanto Radio, host with New Consciousness, New World.